Tonight, we take a trip through the world of Little Big Planet, and Nintendo has announced a new version of the DS. Is this a good or a bad thing? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of October 5th, 2008. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
I hate computers. I just want to say that, and it can die for locking up 20 minutes before I go on the air. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history and the show Tiger Claw wanted to cancel for tonight. Yes, if you're joining us live here on All Games Radio, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to open up our Skype line and our toll-free number. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or our toll-free number in North America is 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us on the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is where you can email me and yell at me about things, I guess. Today concluded All Games' big E for All coverage. And the joke I'm playing with Tiger Claw is Tiger Claw told me earlier in the day that I should cancel my show so E for All could continue to stream. You know, he didn't want me to do my show during E for All because that would not be fair. The listeners would rather listen to E for All. Unfortunately for Tiger Claw, E for All closed about an hour ago. So there is no more streaming. So I am here tonight. Not from E for All. I did not go to E for All. I went to Siege here in Atlanta, the Southern Interactive Entertainment and Game Expo. Now, this is not like any of the other expos. If you listened last week, you heard Andrew Greenberg talk about Siege and what it was and what it wasn't. Pretty much it was a place where they just talked about getting into the industry. It was more, focused on the industry. The only real kind of news that came out of it was that EA is actually opening up a studio in Atlanta. And that's huge for the local economy here in Georgia. Basically, from what I understand, and I think they told me this on the record, I had the press ribbon there, so they knew that they were saying this. Apparently, EA has bought a studio in Atlanta that already exists, and they're going to expand it, and it's going to become EA Atlanta. So some people would say that the devil is coming down to Georgia right now. Get it? Also, what was kind of interesting in the first panel, the vice president of the ESA, and I forget his name, I should probably have looked it up, but I had computer issues coming in, so there's very little preparation for tonight because I was preparing at the same time the show usually goes on. I started 5 minutes late today for those in the live feed, and I apologize for that. But the vice president of the ESA who came on, this is the same guy that came over from the Motion Picture Association of America, and I remember when he was brought on and the news press release came out, everybody was like, oh God, he's going to bring the movie sensibilities and what the MPAA has done to video games. And so I got up and I asked the question about where the happy medium for DRM is. I brought up digital rights management because they were talking about the future of gaming, the good and the bad, and basically the gaming in the 21st century and the future of gaming. And they talked a lot about, the market and all that stuff. And I asked about DRM. And, I talked about the phallic monsters named Securom and all that stuff. Nobody up there on the panel wanted to touch this question. It was the only time they kind of all fell silent after a question. So I was very proud of myself. Actually, the ESA representative didn't even touch the question. He didn't even want to touch the question. Luckily, one of the vice presidents of the gaming stuff at Turner. In fact, he was one of the people that started GameTap. Now he's working on FusionFall, the Cartoon Network MMO. Basically kind of gave a roundabout answer saying, nope, we're never going to find a happy medium for DRM. It's going to be here, live with it, which was kind of interesting. And more interesting was one of the other questions was somebody asked him about used game sales and how this was hurting the industry. And this is the first time I've ever heard an industry executive say this about used game sales, because some people think that used game sales are worse than piracy, because there is, you know, GameStop is making money off of the resale of your, of the developer's game, the developer's not seeing it, any of it. And the Turner executive, I think his name was Blake Levin, I think that was his name, and he said, sometimes life just isn't fair. That's the first time I've heard an industry executive say that. Basically, he said, used game sales are going to exist. Life ain't fair. There were a lot of other panels, you know, talking about design. They actually played Zero Punctuation during the panel called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Game Design, and basically saying, I agree with everything Yahtzee says. It was kind of interesting to hear that. And, you know, I went around talking to people and meeting with people, and I do actually have some people that really want to come on the show a little bit later on. Now, obviously, I didn't really get to see any games. I saw a trailer for a game called Global Agenda, which is being done by a local studio here called Hi-Rez Studios. It's made in the Unreal Engine, but it's an MMO. It's a first-person shooter MMO, kind of futuristic, so it kind of reminded me a little bit of PlanetSide. But it's using the Unreal Engine, and looks pretty neat for right now. I'm supposed to get with them, and I will be able to see the game more, which is going to be fun because I'm not a big first-person shooter fan, but we'll see. So I'll be able to give you a little preview of that pretty soon, because actually that studio is literally like 2 miles east of my apartment. I'm like right here, and they're not hiring, so don't worry about that. The other big company that was there was CCP White Wolf, which is they do EVE Online, which is CCP, and then they're doing a new MMO on the World of Darkness based on like Vampire and Mage and Werewolf, and the entire World of Darkness series, and obviously nobody knows anything about that. So in terms of like gaming news, there was none, pretty much. It was more of a networking opportunity, and you know, there was the job fair and the college fair. Microsoft was there, did a Halo 3 tournament, and in the middle of the semifinals, one of their 360s red-ringed. It was kind of funny. Bauer CTU says, a Cartoon Network MMO, okay. And apparently it's called Fusion Fall, and it's actually going to, which, you know, to you guys, my audience probably doesn't care about this stuff, about Cartoon Network, but it combines a lot of their current in-house shows, like Foster's and a couple of the others, into one MMO world. And it's one of those, like, it's going to be safe for kids and stuff, which means 4chan's going to close the pool all the time. It's going to be, you know, that's what they're working on. And that's kind of the big thing that Cartoon Network Studios is working on in Atlanta. It's one of the bigger game projects going on in Atlanta right now. Gaijudo says, how come no one got pissed with Blockbuster and Netflix for renting games? Well, A, Netflix doesn't rent games. It's Gamefly. But actually, Nintendo did go after Blockbuster back in the early days about renting games. And I believe at the time they had to pay some type of rental fee to Nintendo to be able to be allowed to rent those games out. Because I do remember Nintendo going after Blockbuster when they started renting games. But that was quite some time ago, and my memory's kind of fuzzy of that time. That was pretty much Siege in a nutshell. Like I said, it was more of a networking opportunity for people that were there. It's not a place that news comes out, although to me, EA coming into town, that's pretty big for the Georgia game industry and the Southeast as well. You know, there's other companies out here in the Southeast that make games, but they're like in Florida and North Carolina. But other than that, there really wasn't that much news that I can report. But some people that I met at Siege will probably come on the show in the future, and it'll be kind of neat. So, Little Big Planet. Now, last week, I talked a little bit about how I didn't get into the Little Big Planet beta. Well, thankfully, I actually got in through Joystick. They were doing their little comment here, and we'll pick 10 random comments. And then they sent me a code, which tells me it probably wasn't all completely random, because I do know some of the people at Joystick. But so I commented, and I got a code, and actually the day that I won was I said that the level kind of I would create, because they asked what, you know, internet meme would you do, and I said, you know, does hunting for a Little Big Planet beta code count? And that's what I won with. You know, basically I said I would, you know, make a level where you keep trying to get a Little Big Planet beta code, and you get so close, and it eludes you at the very last minute. Well, I'm proud to say that I did. I got the code Tuesday, and so I started playing with Little Big Planet mostly on Wednesday. I played with it a little bit on Tuesday, but really didn't delve into it until Wednesday. I did create that level, And in fact, there is a YouTube. I've got the YouTube video up, and I'm going to link it in chat. You can find it in the show notes, but it's on my YouTube channel called The Little Big Planet Level, The Quest for the Little Big Planet Beta Code. And I'm going to... So I'm pasting it in chat right now. This is a very basic level. It's got some qualities to it that use some slightly more advanced techniques that are in Little Big Planet. But this is kind of a basic thing of what you can do with a level in Little Big Planet. This is not anything that's really groundbreaking. You've probably seen better levels on YouTube than this. This was actually my second level. I did one level that was extremely easy and extremely quick, but this is the first time I've actually done a level that kind of had a story. And basically, you start off at the beginning. You can see the beta code, and as you walk toward it, it speeds away, which is done using a simple motion sensor. And one of the failings of Little Big Planet, I'm going to talk about kind of the failings first, because a lot of people are talking about how great it is and how you can do anything you want. And I'm going to sit here and tell you, no, I can't do anything I want in Little Big Planet, and I'm going to explain why. There is no scripting in the game, which is probably a design decision that they went after. You create your own levels, but you basically create the levels based on their physics. You can't do any even simple script. You can't really script out simple things like, if this happens, then this. Now, that being said, there are mechanisms and ways to do things that act like a simple script. So there is a motion sensor that you can hide. They don't even have to see this motion sensor that says, if a character gets within this specific radius, and you can set the radius, then turn this on. Now, that could be a rocket, which would then propel whatever it's attached to. Or it could be a dissolve material, which would make it go away. And then, that would cause, whatever to fall down. So that's kind of how you can do things falling from the sky at a specific moment. Or in my case, the zooming away of the object you're chasing would happen when you got to this area. So far, that's the most complex scripting you can really do. There are other switches, like you can step on a switch, you can pull a switch, pull a lever, and things, and you can connect them to certain items, and there's only a couple items you can connect to. There are, pistons and screws and bolts and stuff that you could... You can use to, make things move around. But maybe it's just because I'm in the beta. And the beta doesn't have all the items available to you. There are maybe two or three items of each category, and that's it. And I do not believe that the full game is only limited to those two or three items. Basically, you have to go, and here's what I hate about this, you actually have to go find them in the story mode. So you cannot buy Little Big Planet, pop it in, and create a level. You can. You're just not going to have any goodies for it. You have to go through the story mode and find all of the items, and they're kind of tricky to find. I still haven't found 100% of the items in two of the story levels that are available. There are three available in the demo. I think there's going to be 50 story levels on the disc. So I don't even have all the tools available, and I don't know what else is available to me. So right now, it's kind of basic, what they're giving you. And, you're kind of stuck with the way that those objects work. You can create your own objects, and you can make them look like however you want, but you're limited into how you can make them behave. And that's one of the things that's going to hold some people back, especially if you're used to using, on the high end, using Unreal Editor or something like that, or even on the low end, RPG Maker had scripting. It had code, rudimentary code you could write in to do basic scripting. And you can't do that. If you can't do it with placing an item somewhere and having it trigger, then it can't be done. The only time you can type anything is when there's a speech bubble, and you can make the speech bubble go around. Now, some of the things you can do that's kind of neat is you can actually manipulate the camera yourself, and you can actually do kind of what Two Human did with the cinematic camera angle. In fact, in the level that I linked that it's on YouTube, my Little Big Planet beta code level, there are cinematic camera angles where it actually turns the camera to a specific angle, and then in another sense, it actually follows the player along from behind rather than being just a straight side-scroller. So there are things you can do with the camera, but only in a specific area. And I'm sure you could probably stack them together so they, you know, so it goes longer. I'm positive that you could do that. It just takes a little bit of time. But it's not as simple as, say, you know, putting in a script point and put, you know, and a start point and end point. Amei Satsuma in chat says, how many phallic levels have I made? Zero. Sorry. Pen15 then asks, levels about me? You want levels of a guy complaining about games? I'm sure they're in there. Pimp Method asks, is there a story? There's a story mode in LBP. It's not really a story mode. It's levels that are created by the designers. That way, when you buy the game, and if you're not online, you can still play a decent length platformer. I mean, there's a game there without having to resort to going to user levels right now. One thing I want to talk about the user created levels. There are some really good user creative levels that have come across, and some that are really actually kind of ingenious. There's actually a guy out there that did figure out how to use the rudimentary sound tools. There are sound effects, and one of them is, you know, musical instruments, and you can actually change the pitch of the musical instrument, and they trigger either when you jump on something or when you come in close proximity. Well, he figured out the exact speed that you have to be on a vehicle, the exact speed that vehicle has to go, and exactly how far apart these speakers need to be, these little speaker objects, to create music. And he actually has, like, the beginning of, I think, Sweet Child of Mine, which probably took him hours to do, but it's the opening with the drums and the, you know, da-na-na-na-na-na, I can't sing. But, you know, he's done that. And that's a level that you can see on there. There's another level that's kind of neat where you actually have to kill a dragon, where there's a cannon, and you have to aim the cannon using a switch, and then jump on the button to fire at the dragon, and at the same time, the dragon's firing at you. And you can die and go back and stuff like that. There's stuff like that that you can do. But most of the levels are remakes of other games. I cannot tell you how many versions of Super Mario Bros. Level 1-1 is there. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, you know, Super Sackboy Brothers, and it basically is a recreation of something from Super Mario Brothers. One of the more popular ones is a Space Invaders clone. Let's make Space Invaders. And it's kind of interesting the way they did it, but you have a cart that you can go right or left on the bottom and then have it fire, and then that's how you, and the monsters are up there and they're swinging down and stuff, and eventually they do kill you. But a lot of things up there are remakes of other things, and at least in the beginning, that's what everybody's comfort zone was. You know, I don't want to create my own thing, I'm just going to recreate this other game. So there's a lot of remakes up there, and they're the ones that are the most popular too, are these remakes. I mean, you go on the Cool Levels page where there's like one. There's 10 pages. The first page is, you know, all the real popular ones. And they're mostly remakes of other things. There's like 5 Donkey Kong remakes up there. Pen15 says, why does that surprise you that everyone wants to recreate their favorite games? They knew it would be instantly popular as well as something they are familiar enough to make. And I'm not surprised. I'm just pointing out that, you know, a lot of the user-created levels are stuff you've already played elsewhere. Bauer CTU says, any Mega Man level clones? No, but I'm sure that you could remake those. You can definitely probably make a Mega Man level with switches. You can even have the monsters that come out of the pits at the last minute and throw you right back into the pit. I'm sure you could do that. I'm sure it's possible. I just don't know if anybody's actually done it yet. And Dark Tetsuyu says, I'd still like to see someone make a set of Donkey Kong levels. There's like 5 out there. Pen15 says, hey, Black Wolf, are you going to make a Ninja Gaiden level? No. Hitstun asks, are there weapons in Little Big Planet? No, like, you can't wield a weapon, but like that dragon level, what they did is that they had a cannon, big, huge cannon. You could aim the cannon, and then you fired. And it fired out a block of something. I don't know what the material was, but you can make it, but it had fire. So if it touched you, then yes, you died. Or actually, fire isn't an insta-kill. There's at least in the beta, there's fire, ice, and electricity. fire, electricity, and gas. No ice. Never mind. So you could burn yourself, you could electrocute yourself, or you could die in a horrible gas thing. And you can make any object have one of these properties. And so if there's like a flaming, you have like something that will emit a flaming block, and you aim it at another Sackboy and it hits them, they will die. So there, you can create weapons. You can't hold a weapon like it's a gun or something with the Sackboy. You're limited to that. You know, you can't carry items along with you all that easily. You can drag items, but you can't like wield a gun or anything in it. Alpha Box asks, how is the vehicle creation? It's very... I was still trying to figure it out, because the problem with vehicle creation that I'm having is weight. You really have to be careful with how much weight you put on it, because if you're not careful, you're going to flip over. In fact, if you just go full speed ahead in the level that I've got on YouTube, your car will flip over. You need to kind of, you know, reel it back in, and luckily, you know, with the way that I designed that car, if you pull back on the little steering mechanism, which is actually just a block that has a switch on it that makes the tires go around, which makes the bolts on the tires go around, excuse me. If you pull back, then the weight will kind of shift to the back, and if you pull forward, then you're going to tip over and stuff. So you actually need to work on that, at least on my car. Other people, they've had vehicle creation where you just go, and there's some interesting ones in there, but it's kind of... It takes a lot of playing around with and getting in the car and seeing if it flips over and whatnot. Bloodshot Robot says, a Sack Girl did have a frying pan in his hand. It's one of the trailers. Now, that, I don't know if that's an actual a thing that you can wield. That may be part of a costume. And one of the things you can do, and I didn't actually talk about this, is how you can animate your Sackboy. Your Sackboy... You can animate any part of it using the six-axis controller, the DualShock 3. If you hold down the left trigger and then you move the left analog stick, you will actually move the character's right hand. So, like, the left hand, the left portion of your character as you're looking at it when he's facing you, his right hand. The right trigger and the right analog stick move his left hand. So you can actually dance around and do, you know, point at things and stuff like that. Also with this, if you hold down the right trigger and flick to the right, you actually punch in that direction. So you can actually punch other Sackboys. And in fact, we have done this many times. I got to punch Zappy many times. It was great. Now, this head movement, if you tilt the six axis, your head moves up and down or right to left. So you can actually, using both the motion controller of the controls of the controller and the analog sticks, you can actually, you know, look around, point at something, move your hands, and all that stuff. That's perfect. You can do any of that. Or if you actually click the right stick, instead of moving your head with the motion controls, you move your pelvis, so you can dance around and act like Elvis. And then left stick, clicking the left stick, moves it back to the head. So that's some of the neat stuff in there. So the frying pan, I think, may have been just a decoration, because you can punch somebody, but it's not like a weapon in like a projectile weapon kind of way. Channel Z asked if I played the Tetris level. I couldn't find it. I think maybe the creator took it off, or it was taken off for some reason. I don't know. Alpha Box asks, are the beta creations transferable to release game? Apparently what I thought, yes. That's what I have been told, is that yes, the levels created now will be available in the beta. I am having some problems with them. I tried to delete a level, and then it didn't delete, or it did delete, but it still shows as one of my five created levels. You can only have five published at a time. I moved something and it wiped out all the data in it in terms of how many people played it. Not like the level itself, but like all the data that people had said, all the comments people had made. So there's still some bugs. Unfortunately, they say it's a beta, but there's no place to actually log these bugs. I think it's just an online stress test, and it's not really a beta. And also, from what I understand, we have an earlier build. But the levels that we create should be available to retail owners. So people who go buy Little Big Planet, when it comes out, we'll be able to play my quest for the LBP beta code. It will be up, and you will be able to find it. Pit Method asks, any bikes in LBP? I have seen things that look like motorcycles. You know, Maximilian says he had problems with the beta hanging when he did tutorials, and I do need to warn you about these tutorials, okay? There are a lot of them, and they are some of them are interactive tutorials where you have to sit through the narrator telling you what you're about to do and make jokes about it, and then you have to do them. There are hours of these, and you have to sit through them. And it won't let you use that item in the creation mode until you've sat through the tutorial. You can't skip the tutorial. It's either enter the tutorial or don't use the item. So just realize that when you're going to build your first level, you're going to have to watch all these tutorials. You can skip the videos. Some of them they decided not to make a full-fledged tutorial out of. They decided to make a video instead. And I don't know if that's just the beta or what. But you can skip the video. But you have to go through the tutorial at least once. And if you go through the tutorial and complete the tutorial, it gives you a whole another set of items. So it really behooves you to go through all of the tutorials, all like 50 of them or whatever, to get more items and more stickers. Nextill says Media Molecule has announced that the beta levels won't work in the full game. Well, I need you to link me to that because I read where Media Molecule announced that, in fact, they will. So I need to see if the story you're referencing is earlier or later than the story that I'm referencing. Because that was the big thing about the latest version, is that this version would allow any creations in it to carry over to the main game. That was Sony PlayStation blog said that they would. Little Big Planet levels may not work in the full game. I got his link. It's from September 26th, which is before. So they don't actually have a... They have a different source. Sony's official PlayStation blog states that the levels will work in the full game, and Shack News is reporting that they won't. So for right now, I'm going to take Sony's official word over Shack News. So nothing against Shack News, but I'm going to believe the Sony official PlayStation blog over Shack News. So I've sitting here, I've been talking about Little Big Planet, and there are people that have out there not been able to get a beta code. And it sucks, because I know how hard it is to get a beta code. Well, luckily, since I got a code through Joystick, Nextill, one of my listeners, who's actually in chat right now, was able to get in as well, and he said he was going to try to get one for me, and he did. And he got to me after I won Joystick's code. So I said, you know, dude, I've already got into the beta. So you can have the code back and give it to whoever. And he's like, okay. And then he said, I really don't have anybody to give it to. So, I have a code for Chatters. Now, the reason, I feel sorry for you podcast listeners, but the reason I am giving these to Chatters is because the beta ends on October 11th, which is next Saturday, and I wouldn't be able to give the code out to the podcast listeners until next Sunday. So I apologize for that. So I do have a beta code here. So what I want people to do is... During the next story and during the music break, I need people to PM me, which I'm Black Wolf in chat. I want you to PM me first your PSN name, because I want to make sure that you're actually a PS3 owner and currently on the PlayStation Network, because I really don't want people like trying to resell these, because really it's not worth trying to resell it. Your PlayStation name, and then what level you would make that would possibly incorporate the Bobby Blackwolf Show sticker, the logo and stuff, and I would be able to send you the sticker. It can just be kind of somewhere on the background or how it would be incorporated. It doesn't actually have to be a centerpiece. But what type of level you would make and where the Bobby Blackwolf sticker would be. After the break, I'm going to read the responses, and then somehow I will pick the winner. It may be subjective. It may be random number. I don't know. It's totally up to me. So everybody do that. I'm going to go ahead and go on to the next story real quick. Nintendo DSi. This was announced this week by Nintendo at their media summit in Japan and then in the U.S. I'm going to run down some of the things that are going on with the Nintendo DSi and give some of my comments on this. This is the list compiled by DS Fanboy. It's a bulleted list, nice bulleted list. And since I was kind of running late a little bit, I wanted to use somebody's already compiled DS list. So this is the new DSi. The new version of the DS that's going to be coming out from Nintendo. The third version of the DS. Overall size has been reduced again. It's 12% or 2.6 milliliters slimmer than the DS Lite. Comes with an external 0.3 megapixel camera for 640 by 480 pixel pictures and a VGA camera located on the hinge directed toward the user. You'll be able to edit pictures using the touchscreen. So this is not a camera that you're going to take, you know, nice photos with. It's a 640 by 480 camera, which is about the resolution of the DS. So it's not one that you're going to, like, go take to Kodak and print out pictures. Full music playback functionality, including adjustable pitch and playback speed. So it's going to be an MP3 player. Actually, no, it's not going to be an MP3 player. It's going to be an AAC player, not MP3s. Both screens have been expanded to 3.25 inches. The SD memory card slot is included, and there will be onboard memory also. It will ship with built-in Nintendo DS web browser, so I hope you didn't buy the web browser. The DSi will allow users to download games from DSWare, a new service that operates with Wii Points, or as they are known, Nintendo Points. Logging on to DSWare for the first time will grant users 1,000 free Nintendo Points. DSWare comes in four pricing categories: free, 200 points, 500 points, and 800 points. Will come in lovely matte white and matte black. Begone foul fingerprints that have taunted us so. And then finally, it launches on November 1st in Japan and will cost 18,900 yen, or roughly $179. And it's probably going to come out in the U.S. later next year, because the DS is still selling well here, and I think the DS sales in Japan have dropped, and that's kind of why they're doing this. So the big thing that it doesn't tell you in this little bulleted list is that it actually removes the Game Boy Advance slot. So you can't play Game Boy Advance games, the cartridges, on this. Now, obviously, it sounds like this the store, the DS store and whatever, will have Game Boy Advance games and Game Boy games and stuff like that on there for you to download. So you could still play them, you just can't play your actual cartridge. You also can't use the Rumble Pack that came out with Metroid Pinball, which I think like three games used total, like Mario and Luigi Superstars Time or whatever. That used it, and something else used it. So nobody really used the Rumble Pack. But Activision's top-selling DS game will not work with the DS Lite. That's right, because the GBA slot is required for Guitar Hero on tour. And I emailed Activision for comment, asking if Nintendo had approached them to kind of warn them about this and see if what they were going to do about it. And I don't know. And Activision has not gotten back to me. I sent them that email Thursday, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. And yeah, so their top-selling game, I think like that's one of the top-selling third-party games for the DS, is Guitar Hero on Tour. It's not going to work with the new DS. So I'm positive that they're going to work on a new peripheral, but you're going to have to buy a new guitar grip to play any future Guitar Hero on Tour games on your DSi. You'll still be able to play them on your DS, but your DSi is going to need a new peripheral if you're going to play Guitar Hero on it. Hope you didn't like playing Guitar Hero on your DS. I think that's kind of a big shocker, because some people, you know, they were trying to push that memory slot and that expansion slot to put expansion devices in there. And you're not going to be able to do that with the DS. And, you know, I can understand, you know, the Game Boy Advance things, you know, that they're going to take those away, because, you know, there are some Game Boy Advance games that you wouldn't be able to play on a download service, like Boktai, which has the eye sensor, and the Wario Land, or the WarioWare, that the Twisted, I think, that has the little gyroscope in the cartridge. You won't be able to play those, but those are Game Boy games. They're not DS games. This is a DS game that they are actively locking out with the removal of the expansion slot. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know if maybe there's going to be another port on there that maybe Activision can release another little adapter, because you can you actually have to do a little bit of like screwdrivering and stuff to get it to work in a DS FAT, because it ships looking like it's supposed to be in the DS Lite, and then you can actually switch out the connector, make it a DS FAT. I wonder if they're going to be able to sell a connector that would make it plug into a slot on the DSi, and maybe they can sell that separately so you don't have to buy an entire new grip. So I think this sucks for Activision. People are thinking, why are you happy at the misfortune of Activision? I think this sucks for Activision, because this is their top-selling DS game that's just gotten completely owned by Nintendo's need to make things smaller and put cameras in things. Pinga Dominicana asks, will we be able to listen to music with the DS closed? They haven't really talked more about the DSi other than this, really. You know, but Bloodshot Robot does say the DSi will not be out here for another year, so Activision has time to either release a new peripheral or modify their existing peripheral to work with a new method of communicating with the DSi. Bloodshot Robot asks, could the camera not work as the light sensor for Boktai? I'm sure it could, but the thing is, Boktai was created specifically to work with that specific peripheral. So they would actually have to recode the game if you download it on the DS, like the DS Shop Channel or whatever. And from what I've seen with Virtual Console games, they really don't want to edit the ROM on the Virtual Console. The only time they've done it was with 1080 Snowboarding, because whoever was the sponsor at the time is no longer the sponsor, so they actually had to change the in-game advertising in 1080 Snowboarding to be whatever from whatever it was to Wii ads. So now there's Wii ads in the Virtual Console version of the N64 game 1080 Snowboarding. That's the only time they've really edited a ROM to work with the Virtual Console. So I don't see them really recoding Boktai to work with the camera. There's probably not enough people that are going to buy it to make it worth the effort on either Nintendo or Konami's part to get Boktai to work with it. But maybe in a DS version. Pit Method asks, how long will the battery last? From what I understand, the battery life is going down on this DS. So I'm going to take a quick music break and go through some of these answers that I've gotten for the Little Big Planet beta. For the chatters, unfortunately, not the podcast listeners, because the beta is going to be over before the next podcast comes out when I would give it out. So I only have one, so I'm giving it out to the chatters. Why aren't you here live so you could listen to some music? You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Hello, this is DMN from Seattle, Washington. You're listening to the only man who cannot win a single game of Tetris, Bobby Blackwell. Here's Bobby.
Yeah, DMN, go die in a fire for leaving that bumper. You should leave a bumper that doesn't make fun of me. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, or you can email me an MP3, blackwolf@allgames.com, and I'll put music behind it and stuff, because he's getting ready for the DSi. I don't know if DMN wants a DSi or not. I don't know. So I've got a few answers here. Some of them are actually ineligible. Nice try, though, but other people entered, so you are out. So I've got to figure out how to give these away. And I'm not sure if I should just pick one, which would promote favoritism. So let's see. So you know what? I'm just going to open up the Skype line and the phone lines. And if you're the first caller that calls in that is not one of the entrants, then you can help me pick it. If you are one of the entrants, and I will know, then you're not going to help me pick, because I know you just pick yourself, and that would be unfair. So how about that? We're going to do it that way. So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. So I'm going to go ahead and take this call, which edged out Pen 15. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, on the air. You are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Blackwell, it's Maximilian.
Maximilian, you beat out everybody else. They all finally came in at once, but you beat out everybody. You beat out Pen 15 by 3 seconds. Everybody's beating out Pen 15 by 3 seconds. I thought you had me on speed dial. So do you have anything on your mind, or you want to kind of help pick a winner here?
I can help pick a winner, but I wanted to talk about the beta real quick.
All right.
Well, basically, first off, I enjoyed your level, and I enjoy having tied to high score, because nobody else can find that secret area that I did.
Yeah, but it's on the YouTube video, so now people can find it.
Well, you ruined it.
Well, no, because I want to see who saw the YouTube video.
Oh, okay.
And see, now I can see who actually saw it on the YouTube video. I put a whole stash of points in an area that's, you know, it's typical for platformers, but people typically don't check the area unless they're really looking for it. So you'll see it in the YouTube.
I finally got in the code the other day through some frustration, but it seems pretty interesting there. I mean, you know, with some of the ideas that I've seen so far, like, I mean, even though they're totally original, I've seen like a Ninja Warrior, where it's basically you're trying to get through level as fast as possible without dying, and some of the obstacles are pretty tricky to, you know, get across. But
you know, some of the levels, you know, like the user levels, are kind of, you know, because they're amateurs, they're not really play tested all that much. And one of the things that I don't like about Little Big Planet right now is that if you're like in a vehicle and you need the vehicle to continue the level,
yeah,
and something happens and you die,
right,
the vehicle stays out there. And you go back to the beginning of the level, and you have no vehicle to get across.
Right, I've had that happen to me plenty of times. It's like when I was going through the GTA level, mm-hmm. Well, basically, like my cousin, we were playing two player. He died, and I was blasting through on one of the getaway cars, and we get to the end of the. I get to the where you're supposed to stop, but there's no warning. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I hit this brick wall, and my character dies, and I have to go all the way back to the previous checkpoint and run. The rest of the level.
And some of the levels, they don't let you do that. Like, you have to clear the obstacles with the vehicle. You can't jump across them as your Sackboy. And that's one of those things kind of like if there were scripting, if you went to an area and you could say, if car does not exist here, spawn it.
Right.
And you can't really do that. I mean, you can do something kind of like that, but then there's the possibility of spamming the object because there is an emitter object that you can emit an item. But, mm-hmm. you can set it to how many you can emit, but, you're out of them and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not as smart as, some people who probably want to go deeper and do more customization would like. So have you created a level at all?
I started creating one earlier before Analogic wanted me to play with them, but... Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to rush through just trying to get a level out there. I'm trying to, yeah, you are. I'm trying to have each part of my level mean something. Like I copied somebody and made a rocket that goes to another part of the level. But mm-hmm. See, I'm trying to make it so that it's not broken because so far my rocket, because the weight's on it, it's not right. So I have to go back and check it. It'll tilt towards the right and shoot and hit the platform before it gets all the way up there.
And see, here's the thing that about the weight thing. You're going to get it. Probably you're going to tweak it so it works for one player.
Yeah,
but then you get
second
player, and then you're screwed because now the weight's going to be different.
Right.
So, the physics is great, but it's also a hindrance because you can't do exactly what you want. I kind of wish maybe there was a way you could even just say a line, like make an invisible line and have it follow that line no matter what the weight was,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. Make it follow this invisible track. Kind of like what they used to do in racing games and stuff. But it's all physics-based, and you can do, one small jump or whatever, and you can make it careening off course, which is why some of those levels, which are cool, that have the rocket going to another part of the level, sometimes won't work, because if you hit it wrong and you're standing wrong and you're jumping and whatever, it's going to mess up.
Right, and that's just the few of those things that really bug me. Well, really bug me, even though you pointed this out, it not... truly being a beta is not being able to report the problems, because I had problems last night when I was trying to actually go through these all 50 tutorials, and mm-hmm. well, for some reason I couldn't get online with the beta, so mm-hmm. I'm sitting there and I do the tutorial and I get the items, but then it wouldn't exit the tutorial. I'd be sitting there running around and why is it not letting me exit? And I try and leave and it wouldn't let me leave, so I'm like, oh, I'm done with this for tonight then.
Yeah, and one of the tutorials still has the Japanese voiceover. They didn't put the English voiceover on there. It's kind of funny.
I didn't get that one yet, apparently.
You didn't,
I don't know
it was one of the bolts or the sprockets or something like that.
Oh, that's probably why I didn't do that one yet.
Yeah, so one of those actually has the Japanese voiceover. And I can't remember. I think it was the spring bolt or something like that. So you want to help me give one of these away?
Sure.
So what I'm going to redo is I'm going to read to you the levels. I'm not going to tell you who said them.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody tells you in chat who said them, they are disqualified.
No, I'm going to get chat out of the way.
So there are, let's see, I'm trying to see how many are actually eligible. Six people sent them in, but I'm only counting four of them. Because one of them says, I don't have time to play it, and the other one says, I don't have a PS3. So you're out, GK128 NACDEF. So one person says, I would make the escape from Bobby's Banhammer. Player number two says my level would involve Sackboy trying to defeat the evil Bobby Blackwolf character to get his podcast on All Games Radio. The sticker would be all around the walls of my lair. Person number three says climb a dangerous mountain and plant the Bobby Blackwolf flag at the top. And number four says I want to make an All Games level using many instances of the community and shows. I would use the Blackwolf sticker logo on the infamous Banhammer, which would be used to take out bad apples on the level.
Oh, okay.
So which one, number one, two, three, or four, which one do you like the most?
I'd have to throw out number one just based on having stuff chase you is really tough, but mm-hmm. it's a really good idea, but that really seems hard.
So the escape from Bobby's Banhammer.
Right, then I'm not really digging that one. Number mm-hmm. three, I don't really know. Like I said, in the full game I have items, but I'm just breaking them out. They all sound like really good ideas, but based on what I've been playing, you can't really hold items, so.
Well, number three, that was the place the Bobby Blackwell flag at the top. There is there's a switch that you can say it's a sticker switch.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they have the sticker and they place it on that item that has that sticker switch, then it triggers. So that one is possible.
Mm. Well, in that case, I'll have to say number two.
So number two, which was my level would involve a Sackboy trying to defeat the evil Bobby Blackwolf character to get his podcast on All Games Radio.
Yeah, that's possible.
You like that one?
Yeah.
So congratulations, Henderson Man, for winning a Little Big Planet beta code. So the others, Hey Jude was number one, the escape from the Banhammer. Hedden was the mountain, the flag at the top, and Alpha Box was the one about using the entire community. But Henderson Man wins a Little Big Planet beta code. I will be PMing you that beta code after the show, when the show is over. Thank you very much, Maximilian.
Yes, and just one last thing. It was really close. Honestly, it was really close between number two and number four, but I like number two better.
All right.
Thank
you very much. So I am going to take one more call just because I started just a little bit late, so we're going to take another quick phone call. I'm going to go ahead and take this one instead of the others. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Pen 15.
Pen 15. So what is on your mind?
I was thinking about something that I heard on Bonus Round. I don't know if you ever caught that show.
Mm-mm. No, not recently.
Well, they had this panel discussion about the future of gaming, and one thing that they brought up was talking about how selling games at different sort of price points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, they said that, you know, something like 25% of people beat GTA 4
mm-hmm.
and the rest don't. So what if for those people they got a $60 game because they knew that they weren't going to finish it. But for the super hardcore people who are definitely going to finish it, maybe they chop off certain content for the people who never plan on finishing it, but they give you more content for those that definitely will. So they pay like $90, and I want to know what you thought about that.
I think that sucks. Because, you know, unfortunately, we're too used to paying the, you know, $60, and people are already complaining that, you know, there's extra content available for, you know, downloadable content that you pay for, extra levels, extra maps and stuff, and it would only get worse if there were these multiple price points, you know. I don't think that would fly. I don't think that's a good idea. Do you like it?
The reason I use GTA as an example is because, unlike most other games, GTA has a whole lot of content. Actually, some may say too much content because most people don't experience. They probably only experience probably 75% of the content unless you're hardcore into the getting all the achievements and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I use GTA as an example, because let's assume it's a good game. Let's assume it's a game that is giving you actually more value. Do you think it's actually fair for, like, a game to sort of be like, well, this person, he's paying this much because he'll definitely consume all this content, versus this other person who probably won't get through half of it?
Well, I mean, the content's been created, and, you know, it's going to be there, and, you know, you never know. I mean, somebody may experience all the content. I know that it would kind of be demoralizing to me if I only paid, you know, $20 for a game, and then I actually do get far enough, it says, okay, pay us some more money. Now, granted, this is episodic content that you're describing without actually calling it episodic content, where there is content out there, and, you know, I like episodic games and stuff, but it's not one of those where all the content's there and then I have to pay to unlock the next chapter. I wouldn't like that. With episodic content, for me, it's one of those set schedule things. I can play it for a little bit and then come back, you know, I'm done for now, and then I come back to it in the next month. I'm not a big fan, and because it's more of a psychological thing of, okay, I have to pay, you know, $5 more to speak with the girl on the 1-900 line. That's kind of the same thing that you're kind of saying here. And not that I call 1-900 numbers or anything, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, and also, well, what about the idea of maybe they would have cut off multiplayer. And that way, those that really did want to play multiplayer, they're, because you paid extra for it, you're more likely to stick to it instead of leaving it. Because nowadays, people just kind of mess around with multiplayer, and then they just leave it and never touch it again. And it's sort of kind of annoying if you buy a game late because there's nobody playing it anymore. But if you had a sort of dedicated group of, well, we definitely want to play GTA Online, then you're less likely to kind of just play it once and then never touch it again like the majority of people did.
Then again, you got to realize if you buy a game late, the price is already cheaper.
True.
I mean, if you're buying a game late and, you know, there's nobody playing online multiplayer, that game probably didn't cost you as much as it cost the people who bought it on day one.
And the last thing is, I'm not going to play Little Big Planet, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like a Pen 15 character, and I want to be a dinosaur.
All right. I will see if I can make it happen.
Sweet.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
No problem.
So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. They were running last minute. I was running last minute. So we're all running last minute, and now I'm calling them last minute. And I'm going to see if they answer. They may or may not. I don't know. But we usually check in with them to see what they're going to talk about and what they think of the things that we've been talking about. So Orange Lounge Radio, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing good. Sorry about running late a little bit, but we were having a good conversation.
Happens. We'll charge you. We'll put it on your tab. No, I'm kidding. We're just, we're sitting here. Actually, it's pretty interesting because, you know, Little Big Planet's not a beta I got into, and Loki, I don't think Loki got into the Little Big Planet beta either.
No, I didn't try.
Darkstalker didn't get it either. So it's been interesting to kind of hear something about Little Big Planet, which is
I
a game
wait,
I'm looking for.
I think, isn't the beta over in like a week anyway?
It's over next Saturday. Yeah, that's why I gave it out to chatters instead of a podcast listener. Not that I hate the podcast listeners. It's just you'd get it the day after it's over.
Right.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you forgot to mention on the DSi, there's also another camera facing outwards that's a 1.3 megapixel camera. It actually has two cameras on it.
Yeah, I did mention that it had two cameras, but I was just going by what they wrote, and they just said, they said there's a 0.3 megapixel camera and then a VGA camera located on the hinge.
And they moved the power button, which I don't understand why they would do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all the secret of how to get it smaller. Are you going to pick up a DSi phone? I mean, a DSi? Bobby?
DSi phone. No. Because I actually didn't pick up a DS Lite. I got it as a gift, but I was fine with my DS Fat. And, you know, I don't need another music player, and I don't need another portable camera. And so, I mean, there's really nothing on the DS. I mean, I have my iPod Touch for the web.
But you can download Brain Age 1 and 2.
I already have Brain Age 1.
But you can store things on an SD card.
Uh-huh. You can manipulate photos.
You can use it as a paperweight.
You can also adjust the pitch of the music that you're playing and remove the vocals and sing along and not look weird in public.
And you can throw it.
You can indeed throw it.
Okay, Sky, I'm doing this just for you.
What's that?
I'm playing some Mega Man music on the stream just for you right now.
Ah, you jerk. Which stage?
This was Concrete Jungle. I just...
No, we don't hear the audio in Sacramento. Ah, nice. Mega Man 9 has been driving me nuts. But, you know, it's just patterns. And that's all the old Mega Man games were, really. Like, you know, I probably played that Splash Woman, which is, like, you know, one of the earlier stages or easier stages, I guess you could say. I played Splash Woman, like, 50 times. I've died a million times. But now I can breeze right through it without dying. You know, it's just all about memorizing everything.
Yeah, we're playing the Splash Woman's page right now just for you.
Well, thank you.
And then we're playing the dying sound just for you.
Nice.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to stop that right now.
I don't want to make you feel bad.
What?
It took Dan two times.
Whatever. Whatever.
But then again, this
tell
is also...
Tell Dan I hate him.
This is also the guy who can do Quick Man's level without the time stopper.
That's crazy. To be fair, I haven't used Rush
My
at all.
Thing wasn't on at all. Sorry.
No.
My mic wasn't on.
Now I do want to tell you guys this. At Siege, the con here in Georgia that I was at, they actually had a group here called the Bit Brigade. And it's a band that plays, it's one of those, you know, Nintendo cover bands. But what they do is that they had a guy, gamer, on stage in front of a TV, like 2 feet away from TV, just like you used to play Nintendo, and he played Mega Man 2. He did a speed run of the game. The entire game of Mega Man 2 took him about 45 minutes. He died twice. But they basically, what they do is that they play the opening, the full opening with the cutscenes and everything, and then they played the level select music, and then they would just play the level music, and then when he went to the boss, they'd switch to the boss music. And it was actually really cool. They're based out of Athens, kind of like Georgia.
A video games live type thing.
They did the
almost.
Same thing. There was another group that did something like that with Contra. That was pretty awesome.
They also do Contra. They also do Ninja Gaiden. And I think they also do Castlevania. But they did Mega Man 2 that night.
That's cool.
Because
Mega Man 2 has some of the best music in the series, too.
It really does.
Mega Man 9 is really good, though.
Yeah, I wonder when they're going to put Mega Man 9, if they're going to do Mega Man 9 in the next few months, once he figures out all the tricks and does a speed run of it.
Never know. You know, and the game encourages doing speed runs with some of its leaderboards, you know, Time Attack and all that stuff. So
yeah.
All right, we should get to what's on tonight's show so we can get on the air. anyway, tonight's show, we're going to expand a little bit about the Nintendo press conference, talk a little more about that, and get your feedback on that, including some of the other announcements that came out of there. Sin and Punishment 2, we're getting a sequel to a game that was never released here. Kind of. Well, it was years and years later, but very interesting. We'll talk about that as well as some of the other games you might have missed that were announced coming out. Also coming out, a new expansion to Spore, which, by the way, I noticed that in Spore you can make a character that looks like one of the new monsters in Silent Hill Homecoming. It's one of the first things I noticed. And also going to talk in a little bit about Rock Band and the new expansion, and just around the corner, Tokyo Game Show. And some companies are starting to announce what they're going to be showing just minutes away, practically, from Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the AC/DC track pack on this show, so I was being... But I guess everybody's happy that I didn't talk about a music game tonight, for
That's
once.
That's all right. Leaves us something to talk about. So exactly. If you're listening live, stay tuned. We'll be up in just a few minutes, and we always appreciate your input. We use a separate chat room at chat.orangelaunchradio.com, but we have a phone line and all that fun stuff, and we're just going to take it easy and chat about the latest in gaming.
And in 2 weeks, we've only had one banner submission. Seriously, people, what the hell?
Oh, yes, and if you need a way to listen to Bobby Blackwolf or us on the go, there's the olrpsp.com all games tuner with significant lack of fake banner ads that Loki was trying to collect.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Take care, Bobby, and can't wait to play your level on Little Big Planet.
Excellent. You'll see it up there.
All right, will do.
So there at orangelaunchradio.com, we will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Here at allgames.com, you can catch us live and interact with the show, and hopefully we'll talk about other things. We'll have the same words, but in a completely different order. It'll be great. Leave us a voicemail or a bumper, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or we have forums. You can leave posts on the forums. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK 128, Hendrix, the Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Channel Z, E-Swat, Footy Monster, Funnydale, Kitsune, Mako, Maximilian, Refi, Shadows Liar, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, ActDef, Aki Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Altitude, Amesatsuma, Ashfox, Bauer CTU, Binary 667, Bloodshot Robot, Boomy, Brad from PodCulture.net, Chad 28, Crispy, Dark Tetsuya, the Blue Guy, DJ Dark Knight, DMN, Drake 102, Final Rodzilla, Game Guru, Gaudy, Gold Anthro, Grave, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Henderson Man, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Influx, JG Rockefeller, Jay Lee, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kaijudo, KDog96, Kazan, Kulex, Mecha, Melta General, Misty, Neiman Lights, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nextil, Nick Ferg, Outrage, Pen15, Pimp Method, Ranma, Raucus, Redertainment, Seymour Booty, Sky Sounds, SSJ100, Matt, Subzy, Sully907, TDB30, The Alki, DM95, Travis, Valerno, Visid, VXJSNXV, What Up G, Wilcon, and Zappy. I was trying to get out of here so OLR can start. We started late, we ended late, but I think everybody had fun, and that's what counts. So see you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
Tonight, we look at some of the announcements from BlizzCon and the Tokyo Game Show. Plus, we give our review of Beat and Groovy for the Xbox Live Arcade. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of October 12th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at DragonCon 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Howdy. How you guys doing? Hello, welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry and sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on All Games Radio, head on over to chat.allgames.com. I will be there reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and a little bit later on, I am going to be taking your phone calls, hopefully yours, and not someone else's. Hopefully you will call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word on Skype, or 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number. Or if you're listening to us in the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address. So, obviously, you know, big, huge announcements made this week. In fact, I got this email earlier this week from one of our callers. He's a first-time caller, usually every week. And, you know, he wrote me this email, and he said, "So many fighters and action games. I can't wait for your show. Hopefully you'll run long just to get it all in." And so I responded to him that I was actually thinking of devoting the entire show to being about the joys of Peggle. So, you know, Peggle, if you guys have not played Peggle at all, it's a very addicted little PopCap game. It's coming to Xbox Live Arcade soon. You can go ahead and play it on Steam and play your 1 hour. And don't worry, that's all I'm going to talk about, Peggle. Yeah. I do want to kind of... This is not really an advertisement because they're not paying me. In fact, I pay them. But I wanted to say, for people in the area that may be living in the Atlanta area and are looking for a good land center, I want to kind of give my endorsement, I guess, of a place called Computer Arena. So if you're in the metro Atlanta area and you're looking for a good land center, gaming center type of place, Computer Arena is up in Roswell, Georgia. They're really trying to get people in. They've got really cheap food prices, cheap hourly rates, and cheap beer. Like, it's good beer, some local beers, but you can actually get beer there. And then they've got little beer holder right at the PC station, and you can play PC games. They have Wii and Xbox 360, so you can play those games with other people. They do have a Rock Band set up. They've got a Stepmania cabinet for those that are into that stuff. So computerarena.com if you are in the Atlanta area, or if you're going to be in the Atlanta area for whatever reason, business trip or whatever, I give them an endorsement, and that is not paid. That is actually because I enjoy that business, and they need to make rent, so people should go over there if you're in the Atlanta area. It's in Roswell, Georgia. It's north of Atlanta. Computerarena.com. Soleil907 says Black Wolf has sold out. I wish. I would love to make money doing this show. Chrisville1724 says Black Wolf has sold out to Arena 3 years late. He's referring to the old Arena Interactive Lounge, and I've been to the Arena Interactive Lounge. And I just want to say that Computer Arena is bigger than the Arena Interactive Lounge, just square footage-wise and the things they do, and yeah. So I'm not going to continue talking about that. We may, you know, if I do sell out in the future, we will talk more about them. But I just wanted to kind of give that out because I like the place. So I'm going to start off with a review of a game that came out this week. I know there's like a lot of announcements of games that are coming out in 2009, and I'm going to talk about a game that came out this week and stop you from buying it. It's called Beat and Groovy, which is a recent rhythm game that came out on the Xbox Live Arcade. And I actually want to bring up something in chat. The Rob D asked about 3 minutes before he went on the air, because he was a legitimate question. He's like, "What's the difference between a rhythm action game and a music game?" And I basically said, well, a rhythm game is a game that is primarily, their gameplay emphasis is on rhythm, whereas a music game is where the gameplay emphasis is on music. So, you know, Rock Band and Beat and Groovy would be rhythm games, and Wii Music, which is crap, is a music game, because it's not emphasis on rhythm, it's an emphasis on music. So that's kind of the difference there. And the term action, I think that's just so we feel better. And it sounds better than just a rhythm game. Rhythm action. Yeah. So Beat and Groovy, it's by Konami, which created the genre of rhythm games or rhythm action games or whatever you want to call them. And in fact, Beat and Groovy is actually a version of Poppin' Music. Poppin' Music being the game that you've probably seen on YouTube with the 9 big, huge buttons and the Japanese guy that's like his arms are flailing around really, really fast and you make fun of him and all that stuff. That's Poppin' Music. And they've made 15 of these games on the in the arcades and in PlayStation 2. So they kind of know what they're doing. And they still messed up this game. So Beat and Groovy, it's a $10 game on the Xbox Live Arcade. It gives you 9 songs. And, you know, these 9 songs, they're not songs you've heard of. So if you are a Bimani fanboy, you'll actually recognize these songs because they are Bimani songs. They are songs brought over from the Japanese version. In fact, they even have the same note chart if you've played them. In fact, I actually have a YouTube video, which I'm going to link in chat. So that's 2 YouTube videos for you people listening to the podcast that I have to listen to. This one is basically the YouTube video I made actually shows both Beat and Groovy and Poppin' Music 13 playing one of the songs, Starmine. So, you know, you can kind of see that it actually plays kind of the same, but there are some little graphical differences. I was actually going to do a full video review, and I actually shot a lot of it and did a lot of the game capture. And then about 6 hours into it, I got in, and I'm like, you know, no, it's a waste of time. So I have all this game capture video now sitting on my computer of Beat and Groovy and Poppin' Music 13 because I pulled out my controller and everything. So essentially, the object of the game is that, you know, it's just like all the other rhythm games where, you know, you have the thing coming down to the bottom and you hit the corresponding button. Well, one thing that's going to throw American players off who've never played a Bimani game is that the colors are not the colors of the button. So the red balloon or whatever is not the B button, which is the red button on the controller. It is actually, I think, the X button because it goes in the direction where it is. So you're using the D-pad, which is fail number one, because you really never should use the D-pad on the Xbox 360 for anything. Left on the D-pad is the first note. Up and down is the second note. Right on the D-pad, or X, is your third note. Y or A is your fourth note, and B is your fifth note. So that's kind of how it's laid out. And basically, you're just doing all these, you know, just hitting the button when it hits the bottom. Of the 9 songs, they actually have like a grading or a difficulty scale of like, I think it's like 10 notes or whatever. And the hardest song in the game only has 3 notes, which means that you're going to get raped for downloadable content later on if people even buy this game, which I think a lot of Bimani fanboys already bought the game. So the content isn't there right now, and it actually has a 3-button and a 5-button mode. 3-button being just the middle 3 buttons, and then 5-button having all of the buttons. So, and basically, once you've played all those 9 songs, that's it. There is an online mode, but you can't actually see what the other person's doing, and it's only in 3-button mode. So basically, you're just fighting on 3-button and seeing who gets the biggest score. And the best part is the leaderboards are not how well you've done in the game, it's just how many times you've played online. So you get a score, and whatever score, even if you lost, that score gets tacked onto your total score. So the top guy on the leaderboard isn't necessarily the best player in the game. He's actually just the guy that played it the most and played online the most. So that fails. But essentially, the game, it's supposedly like Poppin' Music, except they changed all the characters to look like Bratz dolls or Homies dolls and stuff instead of using the Bimani Japanese characters that most people that are familiar with the series have been using. And they did some things that made up for some of the failings of the Xbox 360, like the D-pad. You can actually hit whatever notes you want, and it won't really count them because it'll assume that it was just a controller error because that D-pad sucks so much. I have been able to keep combos going and not get penalized when I've accidentally hit another direction on the D-pad than the one I wanted to do. Now, as for the songs themselves, they've for the most part realized that yes, you're playing on a controller. You're not playing on a big arcade style thing, even though I'm sure somebody's going to make an arcade style controller. They've realized this, so they've used the charts that correspond to that. Nothing's really too fast. You're not required to do anything really, really fast. There are 2 instances where you do kind of have to stretch your fingers around to try to hit some notes, but that's only in 2 instances in these songs. So for people that were like, oh, I hope they come out with an arcade-style controller like the Pop and Music one, the game's too boring. The note charts are too boring to do it, because in Pop and Music, there are 9 notes. The two difficulties are 5 and 9 notes. So already you're getting the easy mode of the game. And then you're getting an easier mode if you go to 3 button. So you're already getting easy and easier mode of the original game. One of the things that that I also didn't like about it is, you see, I have a whole bunch of people on my friends list. I have 100 people on my friends list, which is why you can't get on it, most likely. And in the Xbox 360 API, it gives you the option of where to put the notifications. And they can actually put them in 8 different places. You can wherever they want. Any of the corners in any of the, you know, cardinal directions, top, bottom, left, right. They elected not to do this. So now whenever anybody logs in to Xbox Live, I get a big, huge message that takes up the entire bottom of the note chart. So I can't see it anymore. So yeah, I know I could turn notifications off, but that's a hassle. And, you know, all they had to do was move it around to one of the other, you know, there's 6 areas that they could have put it, or actually 7. Anywhere but where it is, it would be okay. But there's so much screen real estate they're not using for the game, it's in the one place where they're doing it. So, yeah, screw that. So essentially, for $10, if you are a fan of Pop and Music, the note charts are the same, at least for the one song that I found that had both. But it's not what you're expecting. And, you know, in Pop and Music, you're used to having a whole bunch of songs, you know, on the disc, 50 or 60 or some ungodly number. And you got 9 here, which is partially because of the file size and partially because of the price. You're only paying $10, so they're only giving you 9 songs. Whereas, you know, a Pop and Music game, it's full retail price out in Japan, so you're paying more to import it anyway. For people who've never played, and if you really like rhythm games, you can try the demo. There are 3 songs in the demo, and you can play them on both difficulties, easier and easy, which is what I call them. And if you like it, you may want to buy it, but I still say not really, because there's not much more you can do after beating those 9 songs, and there's no harder levels. There's no way to speed up the note chart like you can in some other games. So it's a very gimped version of Pop and Music with Bratz characters instead of the characters that everybody has fallen in love with on the Japanese side. So it's kind of Americanized to an extent, but I still don't think it's worth it. So if you're a Bimani fan, this gets an F-. There's no doubt about it. Probably a D if you've never played the original, but there are much better rhythm games out there that you should spend your money on instead. Dark Tetsuya says, about the charts, though, you said they were identical, at least as much as you can get with 5 buttons. You got to realize Pop and Music had a 5-button mode. That was the easy mode. And the charts are identical. The 5-button, the hard chart, quote-unquote, in Beat and Groovy is identical to the easy chart in Pop and Music. What up, GS? Is Microsoft releasing the updated 360 controller with a better D-pad in the U.S. market? I don't think so, because the reason they, or at least right now they're not. The reason, what he's talking about is in Europe, they're releasing a controller with a better D-pad to assist in the football games, or soccer games, what we call them, but football games, because they use a lot of the D-pad. So they're releasing a better D-pad in the European market, but I don't think there really is any big-budget game or huge seller in America that would require a better D-pad, and so I don't think they're going to release one here for a while. DJ Dark Knight says, I say Beat and Groovy is like a test run to see how well it would work. Well, maybe they should have tested with something better. That's all I'm saying. Because I can't sit here and say, oh, go buy it so they'll release a better version. No, what they're going to say is, oh, look, all these people bought it. Let's just do more of this. And I don't want them to do more of that. Dark Tetsuya says, why couldn't they have went full price for Xbox Live downloadable content? I'm sure 1,200 points, which is $15 for 15 to 20 songs, would be worth it. Have you not been on the internet and seen how many people bitch and moan and complain when Braid came out for $15? How dare they make a game that's more than $10 downloadable? How dare you? They needed to price it at $10 or nobody would have bought it in the first place. And I'm just about the downloadable content. You know, obviously they've got it set up to where you can buy more songs downloadable, which means you're not going to be spending $10 for this game. You're going to be spending $20, $30, $40 for this game and still only get 30 songs, maybe at the most, depending on how much they charge for each song. So let's move on. So that was my review. I've got video that I may turn into a video review. I don't know. Probably not. Yeah, so that's Beaten Groovy. I'd avoid it. It's very disappointing that this is what they finally did with Poppin' Music. But it also shows that maybe they had some of the right things in Rock Revolution, because one of the questions that I asked from Dark Tetsuya is from Rock Revolution was, you know, what about having Bimani songs in there? And said, no, we're going to put songs people recognize in there, even though they're covers. And so here's Beaten Groovy using all the songs that nobody recognizes, and I'm panning it. So maybe they're actually right that you need to have music that people recognize for it to get a better score. Maybe I am one of those evil people. And SSJ100 Matt says, what bothers me the most is that the fades, notes don't fade after you hit them, so you don't really have any idea if you hit them. And actually, there's one of the songs that actually does one of the slowdowns, the patented DDR slowdown, where, you know, all the notes are coming and then it just stops and then it goes at a slower speed. That's one of the songs in there. And if you miss the notes, it just doesn't show you anything. It doesn't say bad. It doesn't show when you hit them. So you actually think your controller's not responding because you're actually hitting the notes so wrong and your timing is so off that it just decides not to show it. So actually, in some of those cases, you could probably hit every button on the controller and it will just count the three that you were supposed to hit and you get the full points for it. So there are UI issues. At least Poppin' Music told you when you were bad. This doesn't. Oh, and there's a camera mode. I completely forgot about the camera mode, or in other words, Para Para Paradise for the Bimani fans. Three balloons, and you have to wave your hand in front of them. But I realized that if you just put your hand in front of it and shake your hand, you're going to get full points. So even that was rushed. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about BlizzCon, because Pen15 really wants me to talk about Tokyo Game Show. So I'm going to stretch this out. BlizzCon happened this weekend. Usually I wouldn't talk about BlizzCon, but I actually think that Blizzard is raping you, and people are going to let them be raped. It's not a pretty thing. So StarCraft II, highly anticipated real-time strategy game. I bought it the day it came out back in college. So people ask me, oh, do you play StarCraft? I'm like, yeah, I played it when it came out 10 years ago. And so StarCraft II finally coming out. And for people that don't play online, they usually play through the single-player campaigns, right? Well, here's the deal with that. Now, Slashdot actually had posted this blurb. I guess they actually have a guy at BlizzCon, so they're actually doing reporting rather than just linking other people's news. The StarCraft II gameplay panel was an eventful one at BlizzCon. The developers faced an obstacle when designing the game. The plans they had were just too massive to implement in a single game on anything approaching a reasonable timeline. Their solution was to divide the game up into three separate standalone titles: Terran, Wings of Liberty, Zerg, Heart of the Swarm, and Protoss, Legacy of the Void. I figured they would have actually called it You Must Construct Additional Pylons or something like that. Each campaign will have the order of 26 to 30 missions. The path players take through missions can vary. The storyline branches frequently, but they will end up in the same place. The games will run alongside each other. They will not be cliffhanger endings leading from one to another, and each game will focus on a different part of the story. The Terran campaign will focus on Jim Raynor, and the Zerg campaign will be all about Kerrigan. Multiplayer functionality will be in place for all three races from the start. So essentially, what they're doing is they're creating StarCraft II, and you're going to buy it three times. Okay? These are full titles, is what they said. They didn't say these were expansions or downloadable content. No, these are full titles. Now, granted, if all you play is online, you only have to get one of them. You don't have to get the other single-player titles. But they're building the game once, and you're expected to buy it three times. You're getting screwed, guys. And we're going to let them screw us, because they're Blizzard. Now, Kotaku actually had an interview with the lead producer of StarCraft II, Chris Sigati, and he basically said, effectively, each game will be an expansion. is what he said. Each new single-player campaign will come with upgrades and changes to the multiplayer. The main difference here is that instead of giving you a tacked-on extension of the single-player experience, as you'd often find in an RTS expansion, each title comes with a fully realized campaign. Chris then explained that each of the three installments would play a bit differently as well, with different metagame types in each. The initial campaign would feature Terran Jim Raynor with a metagame that involves upgrading technologies. The second focuses on the Zerg, with a meta element involving diplomacy. I thought it would have been rushing, but oh well. So, and basically, it goes on, talks about the scope that, you know, they couldn't fit it all into one game. So, yeah, they're doing little changes and stuff, but you're still paying for the game three times. And, which they haven't explained, is, you know, these new upgrades and changes to the multiplayer. Does that mean even if you're playing multiplayer, you're going to have to buy the same game three times? Have you guys realized this? They want you to buy the one game three times. One game three times. Buying it three times. And we're not talking about buying it for each computer in your house. We're talking about buying it three times on the one computer. Oh, and also I just wanted to throw out that they're talking about monetizing Battle.net. And so I didn't actually link this article, but I remember reading it. And so you're going to have to start paying for Battle.net soon in some form or fashion. So, yeah, bye-bye free online. So that's what we've shown them, is that with the World of Warcrafts in the world and with the Xbox Lives in the world, we've shown people, yes, we're willing to pay for an online service. Sony fanboys are sitting there going, see, we told you so. Should have been free like the PlayStation Network. Cousin says maybe the games will only cost $19.99 and maybe Wii Music won't suck. Hendrick says, I'd bet that if anything, they're betting on the Koreans buying it three times. And see, here's the thing with that. Most people in Korea, which that's a great comment, but unfortunately, from what I understand, most people in Korea don't actually own computers. They actually play at LAN centers. So they go and pay an hourly fee at a LAN center to play StarCraft or World of Warcraft or Lineage or whatever they're playing at the moment. O2 Jam or whatever. I don't know. So they're not actually buying the game, because they don't have computers in their home that could run it. They go to a LAN center. LAN centers are PC bangs, are what they call it over there. Very huge over there. Pen15 says PS3 Online. No one is on and it doesn't work, but at least it's free. Actually, it worked for me when I was doing Little Big Planet with other people. Sully907 says, wasn't aware the PS3 Online didn't work when I was playing SOCOM last week, and that's because you're a Sony fanboy. Sully, didn't you know this? Now, they're also asking about Diablo 3. Now, I didn't really... See, I don't really like talking about like games like, oh, they showed a trailer. I mean, Diablo 3, they showed the wizard class. So they're showing a little bit more of it. The only funny thing that I really wanted to share on Diablo 3 is one of the... I think Kotaku had an interview. Mike Fahey, who actually lives around here. He's going to be on the show soon. He keeps reminding me that I need to have him on the show. Mike Fahey from Kotaku is actually out at BlizzCon. And had an interview with one of the producers of Diablo 3, and he had the best shirt ever, which was Diablo 3 with, like, bright unicorns and rainbows, and it was in all happy font, in response to all the, you know, goth and emo kids that were complaining that it was too bright. So, like, the shirt is like this pastel blue shirt with Diablo 3 pink ponies and unicorns and happy face sunlight, and it was awesome. And they may even consider selling those shirts. So if you want to go that shirt, outpour and tell them to make it. But I'm kind of worried because, you know, that is also a giant flip of the middle finger to some of your oldest fans. Now, granted, you may not agree with those fans, and those fans are wrong. But that's kind of a bold statement to make towards them. You know, I mean, it was kind of, you know, I didn't mind it when the lead artist the art director, who actually left, I think, after this, went over to, I think, MTV Multiplayer and kind of broke apart each of their screenshots and said, this is why it won't work in the gameplay. And then that caused them to say, okay, now we're going to animate it. I didn't mind that, but the t-shirt, I think, may rile them the wrong way. But granted, there's probably more people out there that think it was a great shirt and a great commentary and we'll buy it, so Blizzard will even get more of your money after, you know, this is before you buy the same game three times. Blizzard, they're great at making money. They learned from Nintendo. They had to have learned from Nintendo. So quickly, I'm going to go over to Tokyo Game Show, talk about the one of the things that that actually isn't a game that came out from there, and then we're going to take our break and take calls, and then people can call in and say, here's what I saw at Tokyo Game Show that was great, because they did announce a lot of games. No More Heroes 2, they announced Tekken 6 is coming to the Xbox 360 as well as the PlayStation 3. There were, you know, a bunch of the RPGs. Microsoft had a press conference. Sony and Nintendo didn't do a press conference. So, you know, Microsoft announced, you know, Star Ocean and Infinite Undiscovery was coming, which I think it's already out here, but I think it's something there. And I think Last Remnant or something like that. I didn't really pay too much attention, but they announced all these RPGs, and then they said Tekken 6 was coming to the 360. So, lots of other big announcements. Actually, attendance was down on the media side for Tokyo Game Show. Like, it was less attended on the media and business days than it was last year, but more people showed up to the public days than before, so they did recoup their costs. But the new Xbox experience finally has a date, and it's November 19th. And if you are one of the two people that don't have a hard drive on your Xbox 360, you may have a little bit of problem with the new dashboard update. And new Xbox experience, it's really just the dashboard update. But basically, Microsoft had an official statement that they made at TGS saying the new Xbox experience will require 128 megs of free space. A hard drive is recommended for the optimal experience to take advantage of some new features and to be able to enjoy all the great movies, TV shows, and games available on Xbox Live. While we expect the majority of customers to download the new Xbox experience without a problem, a small percentage of Xbox 360 owners do not have enough memory to accommodate the update. To help ensure all Xbox Live members are able to download the new Xbox experience and enjoy its new features, Microsoft will be offering storage solutions to the Xbox Live community. We're not sharing details of this offering yet. Be sure to check Xbox.com. So I wonder if they're going to start offering cheap hard drives or free memory cards, bigger memory cards, because I think the arcade unit already comes with a memory card that's a decent size. It has enough for 128 megs, but not with other games on it. So, yeah, I wonder what that is. But if you happen to be one of the two people that don't have a hard drive, you're going to be missing out. But yeah, November 19th, I can't wait for it. And actually, somebody on my friends list works for Gamerscore blog, and he's already got the new experience. I can tell because his gamer pick changed to the generic Xbox One, and he was watching Netflix last night. But it didn't tell me what movie he was watching. It just said he was in Netflix and he was watching a movie. And I was very disappointed. There are no achievements. No achievements for Netflix. Very disappointed with that. Speaking of Netflix, Joystick actually had a blog post today that I wanted to touch on, mainly because I think I need to refute this a little bit. Joystick had said that today, despite originally listing the ability to share Netflix movie rentals among the new Xbox experience's list of features, it looks like any cross-Xbox Live watch party we had planned for the fifth season of Hawaii Five-0 will have to wait. The moving sharing feature won't make the service's November 19th launch. However, it could conceivably be added at a later date, says Albert Pinello, group marketing manager for the Xbox 360. Pinello told MTV Multiplayer that such capabilities are, quote, certainly the aspiration, unquote, which we're pretty sure is marketing manager type force, quote, we're working on it, unquote. It's not, so he continues. Now, here's the thing. You go into that MTV Multiplayer link, and this is what it was. MTV Multiplayer asks this Albert Pinello person, there's the idea that if I download a movie or say I had a Netflix and all my friends had Netflix, is it theoretically possible that we'll all be able to watch Michael Clayton? Is it possible for you to create an application that allows you to do that? Now, he responds, yes, those types of things are certainly the aspiration. Which I think the guy, most likely, was focusing on something other than Netflix, because Xbox senior strategist Rob Grohl later in this same article that Joystick quoted says, quote, you know, we've talked about photo sharing. That's something that, hey, if we want to do photo sharing, we just build that app, drop it in, party enable it, and we're good to go. If we wanted to do movie sharing, build an app, party enable it, drop it in. Really, the new dashboard is just laying the foundation for our next wave, our next step, continuing to fill it out, continuing to build it, unquote. So what they were responding to was video sharing, as in I have a video on my hard drive, on my Xbox 360, and I wanted to share it with my friends, and we could all watch it in real time. That's what they were responding to. There is nothing in this article that says we're not going to let you watch Netflix movies with people in your party if they have Netflix. So be very wary of all of these blogs, Joystick, Kotaku, Destructoid, whoever you read. Make sure that you look at their source if something sounds kind of off, because the Joystick article puts words in the mouths of people that they never said. Netflix was mentioned in the question, and they gave the answer, but the answer wasn't about Netflix. They basically said, oh, he mentioned Netflix, so obviously this means this, and they're reading too much into it. So just be careful. Bauer CTU says, achievement unlocked, you survive Geely. Jiggly, Geely, the Citizen Kane of bad movies. Kazan says, they're listing all these achievements. Let's look at these achievements. What are these achievements that you would be able to get in Netflix? Achievement unlocked, you watched Zardogs. Achievement unlocked, you finished The King of Kong. You're one of the last people to find out Transformers the movie is a letdown. Aww. So I'm going to go ahead and take our quick music break, and then we will take your calls about whatever you want to talk about. If there's a game that you're particularly interested in and want to profess your love about that came out at the Tokyo Game Show, I do realize that there's like a Space Invaders Extreme coming to Xbox Live Arcade that just adds to the many more retro remakes that are already on Xbox Live Arcade. So I don't know why you're excited about Space Invaders, but okay. So you can give us a call after the break. You'll listen to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio online at allgames.com.
If Bobby Black Wolf was a storybook character, he would have smothered Grandma with a pillow, ate Little Red Riding Hood, and bent that woodsman over a stump and sodomized him with his own axe. I guess it's a good thing he sticks to internet radio. And now, more of the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
Achievement unlocked. I played an old bumper from like way back in the early days of the show. That was Sageclaw. He actually left a bumper like 2006 or something like that, right? Or 2005, whenever we started. That was one of the first bumpers we had. So if you want to leave a bumper that's not from 2005, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, or email me at mp3blackwolf@allgames.com. A lot of M. Night Shyamalan a Ding Dong hate in the chat room, talking about the twist in The Happening, and that the achievement should be you survived a twist in an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Yeah. And then most of the rest of the achievements are about watching bad movies. SSJ100 Matt says, you are a loser and downloaded all the Saw and Hostel movies. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. It'll be interesting to see who gets in first this time. And we'll see who is most excited about about the games coming out and what achievement they would make. If they could make an achievement in Netflix, everybody that calls in is going to have to give an achievement that they would make in Netflix. If Netflix had achievements, which it doesn't. So we do have a call here on the line. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this? And what would your Netflix achievement be?
My Netflix achievement would be to watch American Psycho 2 again without constantly vomiting. And this is Pen 15.
Pen 15. So you wanted me to spend a lot of time talking about action and fighting games, and I wanted to talk about Peggle, and you didn't like that too much. So now you tell me what you want to talk about.
No, I didn't expect you to talk about that stuff, because I know that stuff completely does not interest you.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sending you an email letting you know that, hey, TGS was actually a lot more exciting than E3, at least for me.
Right. They did have more big announcements there.
Yeah, Tekken 6 hitting 360, even though I think Tekken is terrible, that's kind of a big deal.
And it's also coming out on the PS3 as well. It's not like an exclusive or anything.
Oh, no, it's not an exclusive, but the fact that it's no longer an exclusive is the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They showed more footage of Blaze Blue, which is a PS2 fighting game made by the same team that did Guilty Gear. And unfortunately, you can tell that it's the same guys that did Guilty Gear, because it looks like a reskin Guilty Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the artwork is amazing, it looks like it plays exactly like the previous game, which, even though I did love the art style and the butt rock music, I wasn't a fan of the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Street Fighter 4, they announced the old character and acted like it was a big deal, and Street Fighter fanboys went crazy. Oh, Sakura, she's in the game. Wow. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if instead of making an anime for the game, they actually spent that budget on changing the gameplay, but I'll move on.
Aren't they making a real movie with it? Like a live-action movie?
Oh, actually, they changed it to, like, the Chun-Li story because okay. That's the only major actress that they can get to play one of the roles of the Street Fighter character.
Gotcha.
She's a chick from Smallville.
Right. And it's going to be horrible.
I don't even remember her name. Yeah, of course. Terrible.
Because I think it's the guy that worked on Doom. I think
Doom?
He's the one overseeing the movie or something like that.
Well, in chat, I was talking about how I like a lot of bad action movies, and I have to admit, I enjoyed Doom.
Did you like the first-person view?
I did, actually. I don't apologize. I like bad action movies. I liked also The Marine, so, you know, it's not an excuse. It's just saying I have bad taste in action movies.
Well, no, here's the thing, and, you know, this also goes into my philosophy in games, but it works in movies. There can be a difference between a good movie and an enjoyable movie. And there are some movies that are not good, but are still enjoyable. So it's perfectly okay. You don't have to apologize for it.
Well, the way I described it to someone who questioned me for liking XXX is I said, action movies are like porn. You're not watching for the story or for, you know, the pretty people. You're watching for the things that go boom.
Mm-hmm.
And King of Fighters 12 looks amazing, except it has, like, kind of jaggies on all the characters, which is kind of weird.
So it's actual art style jaggies and not, you know, console created jaggies?
It looks like art style jaggies. Okay. Like, you can kind of see like little squares with all the characters. However, the characters move kind of 3D like. And I don't know if it's because they're actually 3D characters, and that might explain the jaggies, or that they just, the animation is so high res that they're just moving more fluid.
Now, wasn't that your same argument against Street Fighter 4 that they were 3D characters?
Oh, no. My argument against Street Fighter 4 is that they're 3D characters, but they play exactly like 2D characters. And the difference being is that when the characters are 3D, you have different hitboxes, so the combat is more fluid. And what they did was they changed it so that it plays exactly like Street Fighter 2, which was a big disappointment because I played King of Fighters Maximum Impact, which is the 3D King of Fighters, and it plays so... It's so much fun to play it, even if you're casual, because you can kind of just mess around with the controls, and you don't have that very strict, tight control scheme that Street Fighter has.
So, now, is King of Fighters 14, is that a 2D game now, or did they go back to 2D?
Yeah, King of Fighters 12 is 2D, but like I said, the characters, they kind of pop off the screen like they might be 3D, and they move like they're 3D, so I'm not 100% sure. Hopefully somebody will get an interview finding out more about that.
In English, preferably.
Yes. And my final game, since I'm a huge Ninja Gaiden fanboy, I had to check out Ninja Blade. And unlike most games where I totally expect the worst, I actually was excited about this one, and I should have expected the worst.
Yeah, because Itagaki has nothing to do with this one, right?
I didn't care that Itagaki had nothing to do with it. Uh-huh. I just was like, I love ninjas. So I thought, uh-huh, ninja game, great, this should be good. And it looks horrendous.
It was not flipping awesome, is what you're saying.
Not flipping awesome.
Okay.
It's effing awful, more like okay. It looks like somebody said, okay, let's take God of War and Devil May Cry and combine them into some kind of alien aborted monstrosity.
That sounds enjoyable.
No, it's not. It's not at all enjoyable. Well, actually, you know what? Because now I think this generation is definitely more style over substance, like Gears of War, you know, it's definitely style over substance. I think that it'll sell a ton, unfortunately. And I'm sure a lot of people will later on be like, PEN15 was wrong, this game is awesome. But if you look at the boring-ass zombie enemies that have no AI, like most games, or most action games, it's terrible. You cannot justify. If Ninja Gaiden didn't exist and all action games had no AI, then fine, I'd probably be right alongside with you. But there is an action game with great AI. So at this point, there's no excuse.
All right. Pen15's thoughts. Thanks for calling in. We do have other people that want to get in.
All right.
Thank you much. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 if you want to call in. Someone else did try to call in, but Pen15 beats you, and therefore you got no achievement. I'm going to take this call. So, Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this, and what would your Netflix achievement be?
I don't have a screen name on your forums, but on PlayStation Network, I go by Spazinator.
All right, and what would your achievement for Netflix be?
Your rusty Iron Man for watching Iron Man, I don't know, 100 times.
All right. So what's on your mind tonight?
Actually, two questions. First off, have you tried the Lingering Shadows interactive art on PlayStation 3 yet, or no?
I haven't tried those just because I'm not sure it'd be worth my $2. Have you?
Yeah, actually I got it just for the sake of it, simply because it was so cheap, mm-hmm. and I thought the other interactive art was okay, but compared to the other ones, it's kind of weird. Simply put, it's like watching a short flick that really has no plot to it that, as far as I can tell, it involves like going through like a city, almost like a Tokyo or whatever, and you see like a large bobcat like animal, an oversized dog, and some kind of mechanical octopus, and some kind of like fog monster like in Lost. Mm-hmm. But much beyond that, I couldn't tell what was going on though. But for $2 or $3, you can't really get much with it aside from a Rock Band song,
Right.
If you're looking for something new, it's not bad, but but what, like I said, for $2 or $3, what do you expect,
Right.
As far as the Netflix on the consoles are concerned, I honestly don't get the point. I mean, considering that both 360 and PlayStation 3 have their own video services, what's the point to getting Netflix?
Well, the thing that I like about Netflix is, A, I'm already paying the subscription fee for it, for Netflix, and so these are all movies that are streamed on demand for no extra charge, whereas I would actually have to rent them on the Xbox 360 and watch them. And I think PlayStation Network also has this, where you rent them and you have like 24 hours to complete them once you start watching them. Whereas, and you have to download almost the whole thing, or you have to wait for it to start downloading and then you can start watching it. But I'm already paying for Netflix because I get the DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff. So this is just allowing me to watch those streamed stuff without waiting for the DVD to come to my place or spending more money somewhere else buying it when I already have a rental service.
All right. Additionally, assuming that you don't already have a Netflix account and you either have a PlayStation 3 and or a 360, would you recommend getting a Netflix account, or would you recommend just sticking to each system's respective service that they already have?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. One thing that I've noticed, is, I mean, for like TV shows, I'd prefer like renting the disc because it would be cheaper than buying each individual episode, which is $2 an episode, but you can rent like the disc or whatever for cheaper if you like just rented the disc from Netflix and stuff. And for those that are wondering, I know Netflix is on the Xbox 360 officially. There is, I think it's like the Play On app or something like that, for the PlayStation 3, that actually uses the media sharing and connects to Netflix's video on demand service. So it's got a bigger selection. It's got like 10,000 movies and a whole bunch of TV shows and anime and stuff that you probably wouldn't find on the video marketplace of either Sony or Microsoft right now. So it really depends on if you're looking for some of the stuff that's on there.
The reason I bring it up is, Brandon, I really haven't touched the 360's marketplace too terribly much, aside from music videos, but And as far as the PlayStation's video store, I regularly download the movies and TV shows and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I tend to like it pretty much. The only downside is that it does suck up a good chunk of your hard drive. It's,
right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my questions. I'll probably let you go. That way you can take all the callers.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and take another call. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. A couple of people tried to call. He called in last week and got beat out, so that's why I wanted to take his call. So thank you for being patient on that. And, reiterate a little bit about, the Netflix stuff. They do have a lot of movies on there. There's a lot they don't have. They do have a good, decent selection. So you may want to, check out and see what's in the selection before you plunk down the money. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this, and what would your Netflix achievement be?
What's up? It's the Rob D. My Netflix achievement would be survive the rave scene in The Matrix Reloaded 5 times in a row without stopping.
Oh, yeah. So what's on your mind?
Well, I actually have to call in. 1015 and I, while we're both fighting game fans, we do have our differing opinions. He's mm-hmm. a little bit more negative than I am.
Really?
I'm personally very much looking forward to Street Fighter 4.
Okay.
Very much so.
Now, why is he wrong?
He is wrong because he loves 3D fighters. He's not a huge fan of 2D fighters. We've actually had a discussion on we've had a very, very long, drawn-out discussion. This is probably a year and a half ago on why, in my opinion, 2D fighters are better, and in his opinion, why 3D fighters are better. And he actually, at one point, he actually said to me that 3D fighters are better because they let you button mash more. But that's a totally different story altogether. And you know what? I welcome the 2D gameplay of Street Fighter 4. I don't mind that it's not 3D. I think it's actually where 2D fighters need to go. And I think that the over-the-top gameplay, being able to jump 15 feet in the air, that appeals to me more than I shouldn't say more realistic combat of Soul Calibur 4, because it's certainly not realistic when you've got flaming weapons and unblockable attacks and,
right.
You do things like people do in there.
And lightsabers don't cut people in half.
Yeah, but you don't see people firing off, giant beam fireballs. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. For whatever reason, that's something that hasn't transferred over to the 3D gameplay. So, you know what? I did like the new character announcement of Sakura, because she looked like a character that I would actually want to play in Street Fighter 4. And it looked like she was a little bit different than past reincarnations of Sakura that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm absolutely loving KOF 12 and the new animation in that. The hand-drawn animation looks beautiful to me. I'm not as high as Kotaku seems to be on it, and
right.
They seem to be all over it and ready to totally worship SNK for doing it. But it is beautiful to me. I think that while KOF 12 will be fun, KOF 13 will be even better when they actually, bring in more characters.
So what are these jaggies that he's talking about? Do you see what he's talking about, and is that just art style or what?
Not as much, honestly. I think what he's talking about is just that, it could just be, the fact that it's it's probably an early build that they're showing off. No one really knows how close to being completed KOF 12 is.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look a little bit jaggy. I don't really know too much what he's referring to, though.
So he's just talking out of his Pen 15 again, is what you're saying?
I wouldn't exactly say that, but I do think he's making a little bit
too
much
of
it.
I said that. What are you going to do about it? You going to write another rap?
He'll do another rap about why he's smarter than you, I suppose.
Right, and then still not make one about the Red Star.
Netflix achievements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Absolutely great talking to you and actually being able to listen to your show. See you later.
Yep, see you. So coming up next here on All Games Radio, it's Orange Lounge Radio. We like to check in with the friends over in Sacramento to see what they're up to and what they think about some of the stuff that we're talking about. And, so we call them and then they don't answer and then they do answer. So Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So if Netflix had achievements, what
yes.
would your achievement be?
What would my achievement be? You sat through the entire Showgirls movie without vomiting. Congratulations.
See, what's this with achievements about people not vomiting? That's like the third one we've gotten.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Well, you know, what else do people do? You made it through Showgirls without soiling yourself. How about that one?
Okay.
That's... All right. So what's up, Bobby? I'm a little disappointed because usually I try to turn on your show here in studio so we can listen to it, but we're all running a little late tonight, so I missed like the first like 20 minutes of your show, and I missed the part where you were talking about Beat and Groovy, which kind of made me a little sad because, you know, I know you're a longtime music game fan, just like all of us here at Orange Lounge Radio, so it was a big week in a way for those of us music game fans to see pop and music finally come to America.
Finally bastardized. Yeah. Bastardized and destroyed and
To be honest, that's just like putting, you know, kind of a SNL reference, but that's like, you know, an abandoned warehouse with Disneyland written on it. It's not the same.
It kind of landed with a big ploink, like a poo in the toilet.
At least the note charts are the same.
That's true. I saw your little YouTubage. Yes. That was very informative.
Or like, you're going to Disneyland. Euro Disneyland.
Here's the thing with Beat and Groovy is that, you know, actually, I believe there's a good game in there somewhere. I mean, obviously, the Pop and Music series is a great series of games. And, you know, I'll expand my thoughts later on OLR, but basically my biggest problem is that this is the game we would have seen on the PlayStation 1 in 1998. And generally, Konami of Japan's problem as of late is that it's not 1998 anymore.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest problem with Beat and Groovy. I mean, honestly, if they had charged $5 less for it and maybe had just a couple more songs, or even if they would have just doubled the song list and given a little more difficulty to those of us that crave it, I don't think the game would be that terrible. But my problem is I really see them going the direction of Luminous with microtransactions out the yazoo with all these different... You know, things. They're probably going to release more songs to pay for, higher difficulties to pay for, because the game's built, you know, the most difficult song in the game is three notes or whatever it does to rank the songs. And it, you can see, plain as day, it goes as high as nine notes.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I think trying to play songs with a controller in that game is pretty difficult and takes some getting used to. I don't think I could do anything much harder than a four or five on a controller.
Yeah.
But, and it really ticks me off you can't remap the buttons. Because honestly, how much better would it be if you could at least map the guitar buttons? And then I could kind of lay the guitar on my lap, and it would almost be the same.
That's a good idea. They should have thought of that. Did you have anybody sign on to Xbox Live while you were playing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, how it comes up right across the bottom where the notes are supposed to land.
Good job there.
Developers know they can change that, right?
You can
populate that in the upper left or upper right. You can actually select a corner, from what I understand.
Or even like the right and the left, like in the center, because like my Pinball FX puts them in like the right center. It's not even in a corner.
Yeah, so, you know, just Xbox is developing 101. I have a feeling they outsourced the porting of this game and didn't pay much for it, and you get what you pay for. I mean, honestly.
Well, I mean, the credits did have a lot of Japanese names and said from Bimani, from, you know, but you also noticed that Bimani, they didn't put a splash screen that said Bimani in the beginning of it.
No, they didn't. Doesn't a different developer's name show up in the beginning? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But... Well, anyhow, you know, it's a little bit disappointing for those of us music game fans. I mean, it's cool and all to see pop and music in America, but unfortunately, it's just kind of like, you know, look at the blogs out there around the internet of people that don't get music games or that don't live in the music game world or think that Guitar Hero was the first music game ever made. You know, this game's getting trashed back and forth, and it's unfortunate. It could have been a lot better. I mean, honestly, Boom Boom Rocket's a better Xbox Live Arcade game.
So let me ask you also about this. StarCraft II, you're going to have to buy it three times. Are you going to buy it three times?
I'm not going to buy it one time. I was never really a StarCraft fan. I mean, let me take that back. I understand why people love StarCraft. StarCraft is a well-made game. It's just not my kind of game. I also suck at the old Warcraft games. I'm not really into those real-time strategy games because I stink at them. I don't know, Loki, those are more your kind of games.
They're not just buying it.
Yeah, but he's not a Blizzard fan, so he's more of a, what, Command & Conquer type person, right?
I was Red Alert because I like to edit the entire game, but I haven't played Red Alert since the first one.
Yeah.
And now also let me ask you one other thing, Rob. Do you want the Diablo 3 t-shirt that has the unicorns and the rainbow on it?
What? I haven't heard of this.
Yes, that was funny.
I have not heard of this. Wait, you must link me.
Loki can probably link you better than I could.
Who can?
Loki probably can find. I think it was on Kotaku. They interviewed the Diablo 3 producer, and he's wearing this shirt. It's like pastel blue with unicorns and a rainbow and a Diablo 3 in kid happy letters with a big happy smiley face.
It sounds awesome already. One of my favorite shirts I have in my collection is something I got. It has a little heart and rainbows on it, and in white text it says, "I hate myself and I want to die."
It's from English.com.
Yes, it is. It's from English.com.
So, yeah, you need to start the uproar if you want them to actually make that shirt.
Rabble. I'm all for unicorns and rainbows. I'm a big supporter of unicorns and rainbows. In fact, I think that's what Diablo 3 should be. I'm hoping that the next unannounced class is a unicorn.
Exactly.
But, you know, we'll see. Oh, see, I knew Tiger Claw would do it. Tiger Claw is like, he's a walking Encyclopedia Britannica of all games radio. Let's see here. I'm bringing it up on my screen right now. That is wonderful. Oh, this is terrible radio. It's terrible, terrible radio, but I want that shirt. Make it happen.
I'm glad I got to hear your reaction when you first saw it.
That's great. No, I'm a little behind this weekend.
This is the best shirt ever.
I know. I haven't been following the game blogs, and I don't know if that's just angst because of the two major cons that went on this weekend. I didn't go to either one of them, or if it's just, you know, real life sucks sometimes. So what is going on tonight? Well, on tonight's program, we're going to be talking about the latest and greatest in games, especially some of the news from Tokyo Game Show as well as BlizzCon. We actually had a familiar face from Orange Lounge Radio head out to BlizzCon. We're going to try to get him on tonight to talk about BlizzCon and his experiences there and how he enjoyed it. And, of course, as always, your chat and comments and feedback. And we'll be talking a little bit about the new Xbox experience as well. And there's news on every platform.
And I brought guns.
Yes. And we have a special sneak preview tonight after the show of a game that's not out yet, but it will be out in a couple weeks.
I see. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where that can be. And if you wanted to see that sneak preview, why aren't you here live?
That's right. You need to join the ultimate Sunday night radio block here on All Games Radio. Us and Bobby Blackwolf and Kropotkin's UK Review.
Exactly.
We're
exactly.
Awesome. All right.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Have a good one, buddy. We'll see you next week.
See ya. So that's it for me for this week. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic, Bobby Blackwolf Show, or leave a bumper on that Skype line, or you can just send me an email, blackwolf@allgames.com. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our chatters. Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK 128, Hendrix, The Rob D's, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Channel Z, D5T, ESWAT, Footy Monster, Funnydale, Kitsune, Mako, Maximilian, Octocamo, Seymour Booty, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wylan, Actef, Ake Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Amesitsuma, Ashfox, Bauer, CTU, Binary 667, Biohaze 20, Bloodshot Robot, Chad 28, Crispy, Dark Tetsuya, De Rocketeer, De Blue Guy, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, Gaudy, GS68, Havoc 978, Hecht, Henderson Man, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Interlogic, Jillio, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kazan, Kulex, L. Frost, Melted General, Mike Hunt, nice try, Mike W., Misty, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nextil, Nick Ferg, Outrage, Pen 15, Punchy, Ranma, Redertainment, Shadow Next Gen, Shadow's Liar, Sky, Sounds, Spliner, SSJ 100 Matt, Sub-Z, Sully 907, TDB 30, TM95, Travis, Visid, VXXNXV, Warham, What Up G, Wilcon, and Zappy. So, that's it for me this week. Achievement unlocked. You listen to another episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Congratulations. You get 0 gamer points. I want more than 0 gamer points.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.